The Tabernacle of David by Charles and Sarah Faupel. Chapter 7, David's Tabernacle, Our Destiny. We want to share some final thoughts on the process that we are experiencing in becoming the embodiment of the Tabernacle of David. These thoughts are but as a fertilized egg that is being nurtured and growing within the womb of our being. Hence, we offer them with a tentativeness that maintains a spirit of humility. Section: What will this transition from mortality to immortality look like? The simple answer to this question is that it is even now taking place. There has been much speculation as to when this transformation will take place and what it will look like. Is this transformation something that will take place as the sons of God are manifested? Will this be a sudden corporate experience to be observed in Chronos time? Or is this transformation simply that which takes place for the saint at the time of his or her death, or even at some later time? These are all questions which have plagued those who embrace the truth of the shedding of our mortal bodies and the taking on of a spiritual, glorified body. The answer to all of these questions remains a mystery, at least in any detail. We do believe, however, that the Lord is shedding a greater light on some very important aspects of this transformation that is taking place. Subsection: A process, not an event. Much of the reading that we have done among those for whom these questions seem to be most central generally suggests, either explicitly or implicitly, that there will come a time in human Chronos history when the sons of God will suddenly be manifested to the rest of the world. While not usually stated, the implication would seem to be that this is the time when we will shed our mortal bodies and take on our spiritual, glorified bodies. We have suggested elsewhere that this manifestation may not be a grand event taking place sometime in future Chronos time, but rather should be understood as something that has been and continues to be taking place in Kairos time, as the saints become manifested to specific individuals at God-ordained moments for His specific purposes at that precise time. Footnote: See the article Hidden with Christ, which can be found on the Books and Articles page at www.wordforthebride.net. End of footnote. This understanding would suggest that the saints of God have been manifested throughout history and continue to be manifested as they appear with Christ, as Paul refers to in 2 Thessalonians. A footnote. It may well be that there will come a time when there is a greater manifestation which will take place at a corporate level, whereby the world will see Christ manifested in His saints on a greater scale. To become preoccupied with any such future occurrence, however, is a distraction that will result in our missing the manifestation of the sons of God that is taking place now. End of footnote. Paul states this transformation, or change as he calls it, happens in a twinkling of an eye and at the sound of the last trumpet. We are aware that this verse has been used as proof text for a rapture, whereby the people leave terra firma to meet the Lord in the air. We, as many of you reading, reject the rapture theory which has been handed down through the institutional church with the help of Hollywood and the Left Behind book and movie series. We understand the origins of this man-made doctrine and see this as a snare or trap for God's people in many ways. Footnote: If you are not familiar with the origins of the rapture theory, we would suggest that you read Elwin Roach's wonderful treatment of this entitled The Rapture Question, available at www.godfire.net. End of footnote. We would suggest that the context of this statement in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians makes it clear that he is talking about putting on immortality. The change is about this metamorphosis from caterpillar to butterfly, not about a change in geographical location. Remember that the tombs broke open after the veil was rent in two, and the dead came out of the grave after the death of Christ on the cross took place. This must happen at some point on our journey, on a spiritual and physical level, and it is this that we are in the process of working out and getting a vision for. Subsection: A purging process involving a dark night of the soul and spirit. This process of transformation from mortality to immortality entails a great purging of all of the dross and contaminants in our lives which prevent the absolute transcendence of the spirit in our beings. This purging can be ruthless, as it exposes areas of our lives deep below the level of consciousness that have stunted our spiritual development and ultimate transformation into the beings that we were originally intended to be. Footnote: See The Dark Night of the Soul by St. John of the Cross for a most thorough and profound treatment of this purging process. It can also be found on the Books and Articles page at the website www.wordforthebride.net under the heading "By Other Writers." End of footnote. This is a painful process that will often bring one to the very brink of despair. Here we are confronted with old Adam within each of us, thoughts and actions which before were not even noticed or at most trivialized, are magnified to a degree that we desperately want to look away because of the ugliness in ourselves that we now see. But we cannot look away. Because of this deepened awareness of this man of lawlessness, all sense of spirituality seems gone. God is distant, and if not distant, often seems to us as not caring one whit about our agony and despair. We have entered the dark night of the soul, and eventually the even more profound dark night of the spirit. This dark night is the very birth canal through which we will eventually be birthed into that glorious state for which God has originally intended us. Without it, we cannot come into this place of glorification, because nothing impure can remain in the presence of His glory. This dark night represents, in large part, the sharing in His sufferings, so that we can also share in His glory. Subsection: A Hidden Process. This process of purging is not one that is generally seen by the world. Those around us, unless they have themselves experienced this marvelous work of God in their lives, will be ready to diagnose us with any number of maladies. Some may think that we are suffering from clinical depression and in need of medical attention. Others, of a more religious bent, may assume that there is sin in our lives of which we must repent, particularly if this dark night is accompanied by unfavorable external circumstances such as sickness or financial hardship. Still others may be oblivious to it all, and simply regard our demeanor as the result of one who is getting old and losing a zest for life. While all of the above are conditions that affect mankind, the point that we are making is that even when this purging that is taking place manifests itself with outward symptoms, the true nature of what is going on remains hidden to the outside world. We are certainly not regarded as the elect sons of God that we are, whom God is molding into His very image. It is also true that this process often remains hidden to ourselves as we are going through it. This is no fault of our own. God will often keep the true nature of this struggle from us, as it is necessary that we have such a sense of deprivation from the blessings of God to the point that we actually feel alienated from God. He is bringing us to that point that He brought Job to, when he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Will we continue to trust him, even though it feels as though he has abandoned us? Will we, like Peter, continue to trust him, even though we have denied him multiple times through this dark time? Indeed, our inability to fully understand the nature and purpose of what we are experiencing as we are going through it is what makes this purging process so excruciating. Yet, even during this time of great tribulation in our souls, There is a manifestation of that glorified personage that we are becoming that occurs from time to time in various situations in which we find ourselves. We may speak a word to a friend or stranger that is transformative to a situation in their life, unbeknownst to us. We may not even be aware of why we are speaking this word, but it is life to them, and we are life to them at that moment. Our true identity is being revealed to that brother or sister in the sharing of that word, even though neither they nor we may fully understand what is transpiring here. Nevertheless, a life is transformed, even if just a bit. Such transformation only takes place as His life is brought forth in them. In this case, through a vessel in the process of being transformed into the very image of God. The transformation that we are experiencing through this hidden purging is the very thing that leads to the metamorphosis from this mortal body to the glorified spiritual body to which we are ultimately destined. Jesus, the pattern Son, experienced this painful process throughout His life, culminating in Gethsemane and then the excruciating death on the cross. His glorified body would never have become a reality had it not been for His resurrection from the dead and walking out of that tomb. And His resurrection would never have taken place had it not been for His death on that cross. And friends, His death on the cross would never have occurred had it not been for the processing of God throughout His life, culminating in that excruciating and fateful night in the garden. All of this, His testing, His persecution, His agony in Gethsemane, and His death and resurrection were all preludes to the final stage in this progression, His glorification. Paul points us to the centrality of suffering in our ultimate glorification. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share His suffering. Romans 8, verse 17. Peter also recognizes the integral role of suffering in our being transformed into His divine nature. In His kindness, God called you to share in His eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, He will restore, support, and strengthen you, and He will place you on a firm foundation. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Reading from 1 Peter 5, verse 10, and from 2 Peter 1, verse 4, the New Living Translation. We emphatically proclaim that this divine nature which Peter declares that we will be sharing is ultimately our sharing in Christ's glorification, and that includes our shedding this mortal body and putting on immortality. And so it is that the tabernacle of David is even now being raised up in us, even as James prophesied some 20 centuries ago. End of chapter 7 and end of the tabernacle of David.